Today, for the sermonette, the title is Remembering. I thought I'd be clever and do it without notes, but I am human. Remembering can be good, and it can be bad, depending on what we remember. But mostly, it's good. God gave humans the ability to remember, to store things in our head, to recall knowledge. Now, several folks, especially in my family, they love animals. And I always have my little quick wit, my one comment that stirs the pot. And I enjoy it immensely. It is, the dumbest human is still smarter than the smartest animal. That could be true. I've never actually checked that out. But it sure does start a wonderful discussion. So what is the smartest animal? Just curious. It used to be the elephant, right? The memory, the recall. Elephants are super smart. They don't forget. They do, but actually, upon further research, they discovered it's the bottle-nosed dolphin. The dolphins are apparently the gifted at many, many things. But anyhow, that's animals. What about for computers? Are computers smarter than humans? Can they retain more information? Can they operate the same way a human brain does? So I looked at a site and it says that, and I validated it, 1 second of the human brain in simulation takes 82,944 processors for 1 second. So quoting here from Extreme Tech, it says these geniuses from Germany and Japan got together to do this study a couple years ago, and I know they've made a lot of advances since then, but they built this entire network called the Nest. And so it's led by the team of Marcus Desmond and Abigail Morrison, and they succeeded in creating an artificial neutral network of 1.73 billion nerve cells. Connected to 10.4 trillion synapses. That sounds pretty impressive, right? While it is impressive, this is only a fraction of what the neurons every human brain contains. Now, I'm not a scientist, so this was fascinating to me and new. But scientists believe we humans carry 80 to 100 billion nerve cells, or about as many stars as there are in the Milky Way galaxy. So since Mr. Mendez is big into stars and science, I just combined them all into that one sentence. But then they designed, the rest of the site was designed for children, so I was amused. It said that if you attempted to name all the neurons, and it takes 1 second per naming of a neuron, it would take you 3,200 years just to name them. That's how complex the brain is. And then a footnote said that just numbering would take 10 seconds. So it's very intense. So anyhow, in sum, pretty much God made humans very special. He made us in his image. So what are you doing with your knowledge? We will never be as smart and wise as King Solomon. I don't care who you are here on this earth. You're not as smart as King Solomon. They aren't. But we here have the Holy Spirit. And that is amazing. That puts us in a very special category. And that sets us apart from even the smartest human on earth. Now, God does require us to learn and retain certain things. That's why he gave us the annual holy days. Us humans, he knows us, which is why he is gracious enough to remind us every year of the same plan that's never going to change. And every year we all sit in amazement because we learn something new. But yet again, it's the same information, the Bible, over and over again. And that's why when we are more senior in nature, we have greater comprehension, greater understanding of things. Been there, done that for 40 or 50 years. So we have the Sabbath. That's the weekly Sabbath. We are here to learn, to take the information that we are to hear and apply it in our lives. And again, that's designed by God. And then simple commandments. I look at the commandments and they're written that even children can understand them. Two. And then he sums it up with two commandments that cover the Ten Commandments. So God wants us to retain and learn and understand knowledge, wisdom. And I know there's a difference, but I won't go into the technical differences between them. So I have 2 points. The first point, God gave us a mind to be able to remember what he tells us. That's pretty basic. He wants us to learn something, and he gave us the ability to learn it. He wants us to learn through prayer, reading, studying the Bible. The prayer, the fasting, those are things that we shouldn't have to remember. They should be a part of our life more so. But it is a challenge for many of us to do the fasting. We know we're supposed to do it. We long to do it. And as we heard yesterday, we should enjoy doing it. I tell you, when I prepared this, I enjoyed preparing this sermonette. I had all smiles in between the espressos. So it was very joyous. So when Christ returns, we will have memories, because we have to teach the people that are here on earth still. We have to teach them. So we have to retain our knowledge of our lives, the trials we went through, and how we persevered, and how we stayed with God, and the knowledge that we have. But I believe that memory will be stripped out, the pain that we endured, to some extent, the torture that some of us have gone through, the trials that are very grave. If I could ask you all, please, to turn to Isaiah 65. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Isaiah 65. We'll start in verse 15. This has two contrasts. The first, 15 and 16, is the old, and 17, 18, 19 is the new. So Isaiah 65, 15, "You shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my eyes." So that part is the us humans, who we are. Then, flipping to our continuing on to verse 17, the title here that I have is "The Glorious New Creation." This is the new. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Now you can continue on reading. It talks about the new creation and the glory of it. But God paints the picture for us. He also tells us that the old memories will be forgotten. What a great father he is. I mean, we have children. Do you not wish that you could remove some memories from your children? That you see them, that they go through? You want to help them by pulling them out and only letting them have the good. That's what God will do to us, and that is great. Point number two. We should fill our mind with the right memories, the right knowledge, and the right wisdom. We have to be careful what we put in our head. Because I haven't had the opportunity to speak this to my kids yet because they're young, but you have to be careful what you stick in your head, because once it's in your head, it's hard to get it out. And society, as we go down, the morals decay, more and more bad things are out there for you to stick in your head. And of course, we know trash in, trash out. So we have to be very cautious and select of what information we do put in our head. Know that God is there for us, always reminding us, always there with us, working with us. And that, I can ask you to turn to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. And this is as Peter is approaching his death. And I don't know, in the movies they have great last lines. Reading this, what Peter is saying, it's pretty epic. If we could start in verse 12, please. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Through you, though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So God gave us one physical life. He asks very little of us, really. He gave us rules to live by. He asked us to keep specific times in remembrance of him and to understand his plan. We are commanded to go before God once a week through the Sabbath. That's 1/7 of the time. That's really not a lot. But furthermore, he created the Sabbath for us to help us because he knows us. So let us remember God and put him in our minds and in our memories. Go before him daily. Develop the close personal relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ.